Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This is not the lesson this morning. I hope we get to the lesson because the Holy Spirit has been doing a wonderful job of just ministering to you already. We're just going to read, let me read all the way down through Wednesday night. We've been doing lessons. We're going to start at verse 1 and read down through probably verse 6. We've been doing lessons on called Lessons in Prosperity. And Wednesday nights, we did another lesson in prosperity. These are just short snippets. They probably won't last a few moments. I won't go back to Wednesday nights entirely. I might comment a couple things. We're going to read from the man that was the richest man ever, $2.2 trillion. We understand that. He was worth $2.2 trillion. The richest man today is Jeff Bezos, started Amazon. Him and Gates go back and forth and back and forth on that stuff. But he's $113 billion. It takes 1,000 millions to make a billion, and Solomon had 2.2 of those. So that's a lot, okay? But anyway, and what I'm saying for that is this: the man's worth listening to, but he's worth listening to concerning money and how it's produced. Now, we're talking to gospel entrepreneurs, but we also want you, as whether you're just a wage earner, and it's not just, I'm just saying sometimes people will demean their own self, not knowing their significance. They say, well, I just work by the hour. But this will go down to a molecular structure level, to a small level. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, an employee or you employ others. It works all the same. But we're just looking at lessons of prosperity. We're looking at places in which God can teach you to prosper, because the end game, here's the end game. The end game is not just for your wealth. If you understand the way that God prospers people, He prospers them, those that are in the church, for the purpose is that they can give, so that they can sow into the ministry for the purposes of not how much more they get back, but to see souls saved and see a harvest in the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of Christians prosper. A lot of Christians prosper. And a lot of Christians that are not walking with God prosper. And I'll guarantee you they'll stand up and say, and God's favor is upon my life. And yet they're walking in sin, they're sleeping around, they're doing this. God's favor's not on their life when they're doing that. He's not on their, God's favor is on your life when you say, God, I'm not perfect, as in I don't do deliberate sins. If I do sin, 1 John says, we have an advocate with the Father. We go straight to Him, get it done, get it under the blood, and don't do it anymore. But a lot of Christians can prosper. A lot of Christians can be wealthy. That doesn't mean God's prospering them. I want to thank God for all this money. No, listen, brother, based on the way you're living, it wasn't God. It's just your own intelligence or your own gifts or own abilities or this, that, and the other. But God gives. When God puts His hand on somebody, it's because they love Him, they're walking in His Word, and they're walking in righteousness. And Solomon was talking about some of that. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 1, or chapter 11, he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, we went through all that Wednesday night. I can't backtrack because we've got another lesson to get to. Verse 3 says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, we just said, and there was a lot of good stuff said Wednesday night. That sounds real crazy. I mean, redundance. It's like, you know, the tree falls over there, there's where it's lying at. Whoa, dude. You know, the tree fell to the south, and so it's laying towards the south. Or the tree fell to the north, it's laying towards the north. It's like, wow, I've never heard such infinite wisdom. What he's saying is this: what he said in verse 1 and 2 is so matter of fact in the spirit that if you do it, it's a redundance, like it's an absolute. It can't be changed. Like, that's what it is. It is what it is, and it can't be changed. So that's what he's saying. So we can't go back to Wednesday nights, but here's another lesson in that same understanding of prosperity. And I named this one Pull the Trigger, and I'm just going to read it because it's important. Let me just read verses going past 3 into 4. After you understand verses 1 through 3 about sowing, and sowing in those three verses was diversification. In other words, give a portion. I will mention this. It says, cast thy bread upon the water. Cannot hardly get past this. Casting your bread upon the water was not putting it on a placid pond where it just sits there. It says, in not many days you'll find it thereafter. It's not a placid pond. It's actually describing here the ocean tide. There's two tides a day, a high tide, low tide, twice a day. Every tide takes something out. Every tide brings something in. It's giving you an analogy like if you will diversify and put your bread. Does anybody know what the common term for money is? And I'm sure Solomon wasn't thinking about that. But that's really what he was. He wasn't thinking about our modern day terminology. But when you diversify and put your finances out there, eventually he said they will come back to you in more blessings. Well, that whole truth is there. But in verse 4, here's another aspect that he gives concerning prosperity along these same lines. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now here's the truth behind that. Too many people wait past the point of obedience to wisdom to benefit from the financial harvest. Here's the example. Someone going through some, you know, trying to make a decision to do something. What do you think? Oh, what do you think? What do you think? And it's getting all kinds of opinions. There comes a time when you've received enough counsel and you must pull the trigger. When I say pull the trigger, I think that's a modern day term that people understand. It means go ahead and make the decision. Do it. If you're going to do it, do it. If you believe God's in it, go ahead and do it. Okay? You know, people will say, I've heard so many people say, I remember when, and I've probably done it myself, I remember when that property was pennies on the dollars, and I had it, but just, you know, I never did it. That's what Solomon is saying here. If you observe the clouds, if you observe the wind, if you observe the water, you're always in a transition like, I'm going to do it. Maybe not. Oh, I'm going to do it. He's saying those who follow wisdom, they get counsel, but they pull the trigger. In other words, they're like, if you're like, oh, I don't know if I should get up and get going today or not, it might rain. Go ahead and do it. Like if you're a farmer, do it, do it. Sometimes you're going to have to make quality decisions, like I got to wait a little bit here or there. But he's saying if you have that hesitating kind of spirit, when you've already received wisdom, you'll never be in a place where God's able to put a true financial harvest in your life because you're always waiting for more verification than necessary to keep going. Does that make sense? Okay. Gospel entrepreneurship oftentimes takes or involves risk. When you're overly observant to outside surroundings in regards to God's directives, you negate God's future plans for financial blessings. Verse 5 says this, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Now the modern day or the New Testament comparable verse to that is this. Solomon says, you don't know what's going to work. Just do it. But Jesus said in Mark 4, and this is in regards to the word, but still it serves as an example to what we're saying here today. And I'll just read this to you, verse 26 of Mark 4. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, which shall prosper. It's basically saying either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good, or like alike good. So just in concluding, in this short encouragement. Just start the process and do everything that what he's saying in that verse is to just start the process and do everything necessary that tends to the seed. And in the end, it will be God that brings forth the harvest. Amen. But for God's sake, when God says, pull the trigger. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? And the bottom line is this. It's always for eventually the kingdom of God come and to sow into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. I'm going to ask you to get ready to give this morning. And so, Father, we just praise you for this opportunity. We praise you for those that are watching. Lord, you desire divine prosperity for their lives, just like you desire for us corporately. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless this time. Bless them first. May, Lord, they be blessed according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I pray that your blessings will flow into this house as a result of their obedience to follow you. Thank you for these lessons in prosperity in Jesus' name. And everybody said,